DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I'm James.
I love how we all three just decided to be like, you know, we're going to just let James stand in this empty room.
He's
for
by
a second.
Himself today.
Like, I'm James, my favorite, and I'm by myself.
My favorite part of that intro is that waiting to see who's going to try and go.
Just blurt it out.
And no one wants to jump on anyone else.
Uh-huh. No, well, I'm dead.
It just gives forward flashbacks to work.
The hive mind was just like, no. Let us all hold our tongues.
The silence is so sweet.
One of us.
We might have to decide and set an order. So everyone knows.
Order of reply. There we go.
Well, I am Samantha.
Sounding as sexy as ever.
Getting into them testosterone pills.
That makes you big,
I already sounded off, man. I did this shit while y'all were talking.
I'm stealing your identity. That's what that is.
That's okay. You know what? I always wanted to be a lot prettier. Just saying.
Yeah, we are one of those rare jewel true. Of a podcast that just start with a train wreck every goddamn show.
Yeah. That's a
that's
part of our charm.
That's why people listen to us. That's the only reason people listen.
Yeah. How many episodes does Not Another Podcast have on the books?
This is episode 183 of this incarnation.
Wow.
Yeah. And of the, I'd say ballpark it for all the incarnations of another podcast.
5 million.
No, we're probably, I'd say we're close to 400 total.
So it basically have our shit together by this point, you would imagine.
No.
The casual listener would be like, oh.
Again, it's a part of the charm of the show. People come back, or the one person comes back to see if we figure it out next episode. And every time they're like, they're going to get it next time.
Well, see, every time we're on the verge of figuring this out and getting our shit together, something changes. Like, I don't know, Jim moves to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Bryce has a child.
We figure out how to work Skype so we can get Samantha on. Or Bryce has a child, so we bring in new blood.
Yeah.
And then when Bryce comes back from having a child, we don't get rid of the new blood.
Nope. I'm like a tick that just digs in.
I was talking about Big Jim.
Well,
that's right.
Pretty sure
audio
he's
Lyme
been around
disease,
on a little longer than me. Audio Lyme disease. I like that.
Okay, so this morning I had a thought because we are on the eve of, well, actually, I think it's actually close to happening. Two world leaders are about to sit down for what is arguably a very historic conversation. Unfortunately, these two leaders are like the most egomaniacal and potentially dangerous human beings on the planet. And they run two countries, two powerful countries. And it got me thinking that depending on how this conversation goes, we could potentially be on the eve of war.
Yeah.
And both of these madmen have nuclear weapons. So I thought, how would you survive the apocalypse?
Very sadly.
Welcome to Not Another Apocalypse Podcast.
And I figure, you know
not
what?
I got it. Not Another Apococast.
Get your Apococast. Apoco here.
And there is our title for the episode.
That's right.
Not Another
Beaming Apococast. The funny to all of your fallout shelters and bug out bunkers from coast to coast.
To all you preppers out there.
Hey, it could be the apocalypse happens, and we might be the only source of information of any kind.
Man, the world is more fucked than it knows.
You're not getting any actual information.
And from Fallout Bunker 151, yeah. It's not another news report.
Shit's fucked, yo.
Hey, guys.
Don't open that lead door.
Do yourself a favor. Stay in today.
Hey, Danny, what's the weather like?
Irradiated. It burns and
the
it itches in places I didn't think it was getting to.
It's three blisters today.
About three blisters on the warm scale, and I'm pretty sure I'm growing an extra finger, so, you know, rads are a little high today.
There's a 20% chance of skin sloughing, 40% chance that your eyes will bleed from your anus.
And there's about a 60% chance of mutant mutilation. So, you know, so, take that into advisory.
And if
bring
you're
your umbrella
out,
and don't forget your towel.
If you're out scavenging for food, be aware that the marauder count is really high. We are in marauder season, folks.
It's becoming an epidemic this year. You know, it's getting really out of hand. Those scavengers, too, they're starting to really get at you. So, you know, mind your crops, boost up your defenses, and make sure, you know, you got that door closed. Just saying.
The packs of warming war.
There's some that say that the scavenger effect is just a myth propagated by, like, you know, false news, that there aren't actually any scavengers out there causing any kind of problems. No, I, for one, am one of those that believe that.
And I say deport all the death claws back where they came from.
You know, when we put that sign on the Statue of Liberty saying, bring us your huddled masses yearning to be free, you're hungry, you're tired, we meant from this fucking dimension. So if your personal dimension kicked you out, you know, we're not here to be the dumping grounds for, you know, all parallel universes, okay? Fucking bring it, figure it out on your own, and then become a viable, you know, entity, either a physical or plasma form, and then come into this reality, and then we can find a place for you in today's society. That's all I'm saying.
And now a word from our sponsor, Crazy Gary's Power Suits and Irradiation Showers.
I got the new shit you need.
Now here's the thing. Power suits are, you know, the technology we have nowadays is truly jaw-dropping, all right? Now, a lot of people believe that the suits from Dune were pretty cool, the steel suits. You can drink your urine. You can drink your sweat. You can drink your tears. You can drink the blood of your enemies. Everything gets filtered through several different Brita-like filters. Do you want to taste the blood of the innocent with a grape flavor? We got that apparatus. Do you want to taste it with a little bit of a margarita tang? We got that one also. So come on down, Crazy Gary's Steel Suits and Fallout Hilarious. It's going to be a good time. Come on down. Bring the kids. Free hot dogs that glow in the dark.
Now at Kentucky Fried Sandworm, come on down, get a bucket of sandworm and four biscuits for just five bottle caps. That's right, five bottle caps will get you a full meal. Sandworm and biscuits. You can't beat this deal with a stick.
We've tried. My sandworm's original recipe.
I like mine spicy.
People only eat the skin. They don't really care about the sandworm itself.
And now a word from old grandma's classic recipe for sandworm. Now, when I was a young girl, I was able to sit in the kitchen while my grandmother used a stick with a nail in it to kill as many sandworms as she could. And bringing their carcasses into the kitchen, I would sit on my stool, strapped in tight, as I watched her baste and cover them in a dry rub, mostly made of white phosphorus and garlic. Because, well, everyone knows that garlic makes everything taste better. So come on down and purchase some of old grandma's classic sandworm recipe. It's quite delicious, really. Side effects may include additional eyes and or limbs grown, as well as hair loss and eventual death.
And testicular amputation.
Even before the apocalypse, Marie Callender was making fantastic meals. Now Marie Callender introduces new rat with battery acid gravy.
I love it when it tingles.
Right. Just because the world ended doesn't mean that the menu has to suffer.
Rat comes in three varieties: broiled, baked, and deep fried.
A rat surprise, where it's actually a pregnant rat with various other, and he's making an incision along the abdomen.
Oh, that's a surprise inside. Spoiler. Yeah.
Snake surprise.
Just come on in today and say with or without, and you will get the tail or without the tail.
I'm trying to watch my cholesterol, so without
here
the
at
tail,
Boston
please.
Market.
Wait. They're doing this if after can... the apocalypse as well as before?
Yeah.
Well, we have to rename all the restaurants now, too. So, like, Boston Market would be, like, Bombshell.
Bombshell,
you know,
Market.
Yeah, the Bombshell Market.
Kentucky Fried Craters.
Ooh, Taco Bomb.
Taco Bomb.
McDowner's. Burger Kill.
Surprisingly enough, Wendy's Prep is still just Wendy's.
No, thanks to radiation, it's actually Wendell's.
Wendell's. Just went through a bit of a change.
Carl's Mutant Offspring Jr.
I was going to go with Carl's Dumpster, but okay. Really Krispy Kreme. Okay, so you've all had a few hours to think about it, and we've got a few different apocalypse-type scenarios to go through. I'd really like to hear how you plan to survive. And let's just start with the most likely at this point, nuclear holocaust.
All right, now, are we doing nuclear holocaust, like, shit's happening right now, we got to figure it out as we just barely missed the blast zone, or are we fallouting this bitch?
Let's just say, because it's probably easier to try and figure this out, that the bombs have dropped and we've survived.
Okay.
Somehow we've survived. We've made it through the initial
holocaust,
destruction,
yeah,
and somehow made it through the major blasts of radiation. Our bodies have somehow, you know, been able to get through that.
Okay.
So you're looking at just pretty much wasteland.
All right. Well, shit. Who wants to go first?
So I was reading a little bit because I was at work. Because I'm at a
I was at work, like, so I was reading.
Massive time difference.
I was
from
not
you guys.
Working.
So I was reading about fallout. You know, I was reading, you know, fallout survival tips, but it was more of a quick glance because, you know, again, I was at work, and I was my job is very boring. So.
No prepping.
Although,
on the clock.
Side note, when we had that huge discussion about work a couple weeks ago, that was very helpful. So thank you guys.
Hey.
I felt
hey,
much
that's
better
what we're here for,
right?
So, but anyway, so I was reading about fallout, and the best thing to do, and probably the first thing I would do, is collect all the water you can, and just hunker down for a few days, maybe a week, because fallout dissipates very quickly at an accelerated rate every day. So once the fallout is over, it's much safer for you to go outside, and you're going to have a little radiation sickness. You have to treat it, you know, right away. So lots of water, have some food, and just hunker down and stay where you are for the first, you know, I would say the first week. That's just what I would do. And then from there, it's, you know, from there, shit. It's scavenging. You don't necessarily want to be alone, but you really need to be wary of the people that you run into. Always have a weapon. My personal preference is probably like an axe or a pickaxe or something like that, or a crowbar.
Melee sticker. Melee type weapon.
Yeah, and I'm also proficient with a bow staff, so I would look for something like that as well. So.
Like in real life, or
yes.
Like
no, yeah,
oh.
In real.
Oh, okay, shit. I thought like for some reason you were like, you know.
Too, so, I also have my gun, so I would definitely keep that with me.
Well, that's like, you know, that's last resort. You know, when you've been immobilized or unable to, you're not ambulatory, so you basically just, you know, holding them off while you're hope, you know, because I mean, obviously, bullets are going to be more valuable than. Currency.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think in any apocalypse,
you don't want to
that's
let on
the case.
That you have that.
Yeah.
So that's my initial thought on very little research. Oh, and I was looking at what to put in a bug out bag. So, you know, water, food, rations, a blanket, light. So I would want one of those, like, super industrial Husky, you know, flashlights. Yeah.
So Samantha's following by the book.
Well, I would say for myself, definitely not one person can do it on their own, and unless they're planning on just, you know, if you've lost all the rest of your family and you don't have any other choice, then things will be a lot easier. But if you're in a group of people that you're trying to keep, you know, alive and protected, you want to make sure that somebody, each person in the group has some kind of a specialty that they can do. You're going to need to have somebody that has some form of medical training to take care of people. So, and that could be anything from like a nurse's assistant to someone with just basic first aid knowledge. Because, you know, you don't want to have like the one person that has any kind of basic health, basic first aid skills be the one person that needs the first aid. You know, you need to make sure that whoever it is that has that skill can teach it to everybody else in the group. Same with water purification. Just getting the water, I think, it's key initially, but that water can also become contaminated. So you want to have a way to make sure that that water can be purified, or found water can then also be purified. Then you're going to want to have one person in the group that's kind of like the tester to make sure, like, well, let's give it to Crazy Gary and see if, like, you know, he grows another tail or something. You know, he'll drink the water and we'll see, you know, if do his teeth fall out again? No?
I think we found Jim's job.
Drink.
All right.
Again,
yeah. Back?
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, you thirsty?
Well, also, transportation would be something that would be needed. But, again, gasoline and all these other things, I would definitely make sure that a large amount of bicycles, those are the best possible form of transportation, in that it's silent and requires no fuel to operate, and can help with you know, a quick getaway, or enough just keep you faster than whoever it is that's chasing you, in a sense, unless of course they're shooting something at you. But either way, if you need to get any across any kind of a distance, have bicycles at your disposal, and be mobile. That's the other thing too, is don't have any one place that is going to be your place of you know, permanent residence, because even the most believed to be impregnable spot can either fall victim to fire or natural disaster, or just, you know, other parties trying to come in and take what you have.
That's fair.
So, yeah, that would probably be where I would start.
And I think for me, I was kind of approaching it a little bit different in the respects that after the initial fallout all kind of went away, I was thinking to myself, it's like, okay, well, first things first, I'd have to raid just about every hospital, pharmacy in the entire city that was still standing for my wife's medicine, assuming, of course, she survived. After that, I would have to ransack the ever-living shit out of a 7Ds for plant seeds. Plants to be grown on my own. Get as much water as portable as possible, and get... basically, for me, since one of my weapons of choice, aside from, you know, a melee weapon of sorts, is I'm actually fairly proficient with my bow, and that ammo is reusable. So it's one of those things. I would stock up a little bit on that, probably buy or grab two or three extra bows if there were any left. And then I would boogie the fuck out of the town. I'd get away from the city as far as possible, go out in the middle of the fuck nowhere, find some soil that's not completely fucked, try to process it, try to turn it as well as I could to try to actually make fertile soil again, and then start planting, start building, and basically make myself a homestead way the fuck off the grid. So I wouldn't have to worry about too much in the way of scavengers or people trying to break in or take my stuff. They'd be fortunate to find me in the first place. You know, and if I had enough of what I needed to get through, I can just kind of survive on that. Granted, I'd become a vegetarian by default, but I think at that point we're all vegetarians. but yeah, my thought process is try to...
You forget that, you know, people are made of meat.
Yes, so... but it's irradiated meat, so how badly do you want that steak?
talk to me after... coming from somebody that is a meat smith, Dan.
Right. Dude, you're telling me, man, the apocalypse is going to be hard on me. No more ice cream, no more cheese, no more fucking ribeye steaks that come off of a cow that's not irradiated. Dude, it's going to be hard on me. I'm just saying. There will be sacrifices.
Develop a taste for human flesh.
Well, I'm not against that. And again, the nice part about being out in the middle of nowhere, if someone comes by, don't have a problem murdering them.
Yeah,
again,
a
this
stranger
is, the end of the
is
world.
Just
Who gives
a meal
shit?
You haven't met yet.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Just cut around the boils, you know, cut around
okay,
the skin.
Okay, we may have to
yeah.
change the title of the episode.
But I'm just saying, at that rate, that would basically be where I would be coming from. It's like, for the most part, I'm fairly proficient with, you know, the nature of agriculture for the most part. I would probably ransack a bookstore or two just to make sure that I could, you know, brush up on my knowledge therein. Also, yeah. while ransacking the shit out of the hospitals and whatnot, stock up on all kinds of first aid utilities and whatnot. But,
well, one of the things...
Yeah,
I'm
that'd
sorry.
Be it.
Sorry to interrupt. One of the things that I read also was think about what everyone else would do and then don't do it.
Yeah,
so I would start thinking about alternative places where you can find those medications. Like a lot of veterinary places, a lot of veterinary establishments will have very similar medication, and it's less likely to be ransacked as quickly. And, you know, you're more likely to get killed from another ransacker than you are, you know, in those first days. So,
again, those first days are going to be kind of interesting in the respects I'm probably going to be doing and, you know, being a party to some shit that I probably never in my life would have thought possible.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm going to be kind of on a murdering spree to make sure I get the things I need, and then I'm getting the hell out. And if I survive that, I'll be okay.
I think that's the key is that you got to assume that, like, the first month – is going to be suck. Like it's literally every man for themselves. I mean, there's not going to be any sort of
James, I think it should be every person for themselves.
Yeah,
I think it's very
sexist pig.
To sit there and say
no,
that
because
women
the women will be smart and gather together and just let the men kill each other.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And finally get the revenge they so richly deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the idea that even in like an apocalyptic landscape, a dystopian future, there's still going to be like people out there trying to mansplain shit. Just be like, first of all, I think mutant is a very sexist term, you know. And I think it should be a different term. Irradiated person, I think, is better.
Because then that person just gets killed because fuck that person.
Dude, seriously, that's the first person who gets a bullet. I'm just saying. Even if they're nice and they're a part of my party, I'm sorry, dude. You need to die. Just out of sheer principle, if the human race survives this whole ordeal, you're going to die.
Yeah, we don't need you.
And your belief structures are going to die with you. I'm sorry.
Would you care for some more of my delicious social justice sausage?
Serious, man. SJW sausage is the sweetest.
Made with 100% Jeff Sessions.
Mm. You might say the secret ingredient is righteous indignation.
That's how we do it.
That's right.
What really sucks about all this is you know that Cheeto in Chief is going to survive it all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like,
not if I have anything to say about it.
That's because spray tan is like a natural radiation repellent.
It's all right. In the wasteland, he stands out like a sore thumb, like a safety jacket in the middle of a fucking concrete
wall. Yeah, but
wall.
Think of it this way. He won't survive long because fat people, very tasty. Mm. That's why I'm slimming down.
Lots of juices. You're right. I mean, and nothing else. He can, you know, bring that fat
he
down.
He will feed a family of eight for about a week.
Dude, it's like whaling oil. That shit's useful for everything. I'm just saying. Keep your lanterns burning on Cheeto oil.
Use every part of the corpse.
Right?
Not to be a depressing Daniel, but I will have to say that the reality is when it comes to post-apocalyptic environment and a willingness to kill another human being and preparedness for living off of the land in that, like, you know, a lot of self-defense, basically all that, like, doomsday prepper, a lot of those people, militia types or what have you, are, I'm
fairly certain, I'm not going to make a blanket statement and say that all of them, but the vast majority, I would say, are ones that would protect someone like the Cheeto in Chief, you know, and, you know, make sure that he would be, you know, protected and kept alive. You know, my hope would be that, you know, all the laws are out the window and it's like, you know, basically every man for himself, that someone would turn on, you know, that particular son of a bitch and, you know, chop his head off and put it on like a stick somewhere. That'd be nice. But the reality is a lot of the people that are going to survive are people that, you know, they have the bunkers and the guns and everything else. And they're trying to make, you know, glowing America great again, you know, make America glow in the dark again. You know?
Already does.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, and the thing about it is you're absolutely right in that. But, you know, under any other circumstance where if I was surviving on my lonesome, there would come a point where if I heard he was still around, since I don't have much else to live for, I might make an effort just to make sure that he goes down with me. No. Just saying.
It's good to have,
a little bit of vengeance is enough to keep somebody alive in the wasteland, you know what I mean?
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You destroyed my country.
Everything.
Prepare to die.
Serious,
prepare,
man,
to be turned into meat.
I'm not even going to eat you. I'm just going to burn you.
I'd like to introduce you to my friend Big Jim.
Unfortunately, Big Jim is something like the mountain now, where he doesn't speak, but he's just a monster who just stands there. It's like he's really fucking big now.
But no one can defeat him.
Nope.
I kind of see myself more as being the blaster to somebody else's master. You know, some short, you know, midget type person or dwarf would take up residency on my shoulders. You know, and I'd just be kind of kept around as like transportation for someone smarter than me that runs, I'll just throw a place out there, Barter Town, you know, and in the hopes that, you know, I will be, you know, well taken care of.
No one has ever defeated him in the Thunderdome.
Right?
Ever.
Just saying.
Mel Gibson did. Hello.
If only just so, barely.
Yeah, I got to make sure that Mel Gibson dies in the apocalypse so then I can, you know, have a nice long, well, somewhat long existence after the big flashes in the sky happen, and you know,
I just can't wait to see him in the leather harness.
Right? That's gonna be hot.
His man titties glistening with sweat and pig pig shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, energy.
Energy, yeah. Energy.
You put a lot of thought into my mostly naked leather clad body.
This isn't the first time, Jim. You should know this.
Well, if you'd stop sending me the pictures.
Well, I gotta know what's a good ensemble. You know, I gotta know what like a good battle outfit versus like, you know, a formal, you know, gathering. Are we going to a bonfire? Are we going to like a mass genocide? Like, I gotta know what to wear.
Or a wedding. You know,
I think
same outfits
works for all of those situations.
Right.
Yeah, but like, you know, are we talking like animal skins, human skins?
Samantha's just gonna be running around in 5-inch stilettos and a chainmail dress. Samantha runs Barter Town.
All the bitches.
Yeah, yeah. We call her.
She'll
Madam
finally
Sam.
Be able to become Menstrata for real.
Yes.
Madam Sam.
Menstrata runs Barter Town.
There's just these crimson M's painted all over town.
Oh, we're in Menstrata,
you know,
turf.
Do you know what it was painted with, though?
Menstrual blood. Yes.
Her army's blood. Branded with just big M's on their chest.
Whatever, it's on their face.
Like Simba.
It's like the white hand of Saruman, just not.
Except the
not
red M
all.
Of Menstrata. Mm-hmm.
And Big Jim will own the only butcher shop in the known world.
No, I'm thinking that's your department, Dan. That's definitely, I mean, you know how to prepare. And
Dan's rats and sandworms. Come on down. Get yourself a nice filet.
Wow. Have your checked for ticks while you wait.
Because we use those ticks in our marinade.
Yeah. Seriously, give them back.
Oh, I'd love this idea of the Barter Town we're coming up
with. I'm telling you, we need to start mapping out some graphic novels here, y'all.
And I this is why I'm so glad my idea has
We should just make this into a radio drama.
That too, both. We can do both.
Who runs Menstrata Town when Strata runs Menstrata Town?
Menstrata.
And let's just say 3 to 7 days out of the month, I would not fuck with Menstrata Town. Just steer clear.
Okay.
Just leave small offerings of chocolate and herbal tea.
And ibuprofen. And
a hot water bottle. That'll just go right over.
And mind your fucking business for those days. Just go out in the woods and
videos.
Pray.
Or cute cat
for 3 to 7 days out of the month, Menstrata Town is like a ghost town.
Except for the cute cat pictures, the cute dog pictures next to the bottle of ibuprofen, the box of chocolates that managed to survive, and a couple of roses. And then
they're a little melty.
Else. That's it.
They're a little melty, but still
well,
good.
Well, she hasn't come to claim them yet. You must make offerings to
There's
Madame
like a
Sam.
Loud, like lion roar. They're like, oh shit, she's coming.
How do we know she's even in there? Just quiet. You can hear her growl.
What the hell was that?
That was Big Jim's stomach.
He hasn't had meat in a while.
That's Blaster's stomach, thank you.
Sorry. Big Blaster's stomach.
I like how we're going to go ahead and just change your name after the apocalypse, Jim. You're just going to become Blaster.
Yeah, or that, Big Blaster. Yeah, whatever.
Big Blaster.
Big Blaster.
Big Blaster, yeah, that'll work. I like
so, where are we all meeting up after the bombs drop?
Well, I actually gave this some thought because I think you definitely want to stay away from the large cities.
Yeah, but you're still Colorado territory.
See, my thought was even
Montana.
No one is going to Montana.
Well, my thought,
ever.
My thought was go to like Colorado because the mountains might have actually protected a decent amount of actual landscape.
Yeah, but there's the problem is because it's mountainous, you won't be able to grow anything. You can't.
You can down the valleys.
Yeah, but then you got to go into the valleys. See, my thought was like Nebraska or Iowa, because not unlike Montana, there's not a lot of people there.
Yeah. It wouldn't make for a solid target. However, if we're talking end-of-the-world nuclear holocaust, there's going to be very few places in the entire world that would be safe, except for... No, they'd all be fucked. Because, yeah, it would take almost every nuclear weapon to go off to actually provide us with this apocalypse that we're talking about. Over every major city, over every... majorly populated area. So yeah, it
see, I
really
feel like
much left.
Nebraska, Iowa, like, you know, middle America. That way the only thing you really have to worry about is the dust storms and the tornadoes.
See, and I was honestly thinking central Canada.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fucking wilderness up there.
I don't think the Canadians will want any mutant Americans coming in.
I'm clean, I swear.
Yeah, little known fact, after, you know, decades and
there will be a border
of,
wall
ridiculed. Yeah, no, they've spent like countless billions of dollars in technology to basically once the apocalypse happens, there's going to be the two guys in a fallout shelter somewhere with like the keys that have to be turned at exactly the same time. Then they enter a code. And then what happens is Canada will separate from the continental United States, kind of like the saucer section on the Enterprise, and just sort of push itself farther north.
It just raises up like 200 feet, like sheer cliff walls that people can't climb.
And just like in South Park, they're going to leave one guy sitting up on top of the wall, watching, waiting. Hey, guy, you can't come in here. Hey, did you tell them how great it is in here? Yeah, I told them how great it is
you
in here.
You Mongolians, stay away from my shitty wall.
Sorry, guy.
The Canadians got a slingshot.
See, here's the other thing I thought, too, with going to Middle America. Instead of building a city up, we go down. So people could go over where we are, and unless they know where the entrances are to the city, they can't get in.
Yeah, I'm not a subterranean kind of guy.
Well, then Danny's Butcher Shop will be the only thing above. Danny's Butcher and Gas.
Danny's Butcher, Gas, and Tan Salon.
Yeah.
Because he's trying
really
to lure
need,
in
like,
the president.
Farmers, okay?
He's got the only spray tan joint in all of America, hoping to lure the president.
I got signs all around the entire U.S. spray tan this way, spray tan this way. Big
advertising
chunks of meat.
On the only podcast that people can listen to. come on down to Danny's Meat Market and spray tan. Meet Crazy Gary.
You get tanned.
Get meat, get tan, get a good time, come on down.
Meet Menstrata this weekend only.
She's coming for her regular raid.
She does not do guest appearances. That classic.
Oh, come on, Sam. You know you want some of my meat.
I mean, if you are the only meat guy around, I guess.
I guess.
Suddenly this became a porno.
A tentative truce is struck up between Menstrata and Dance and Dan's Meats and
Dance. Dance and Dance!
Dance and Dance Meat Dance! Oh my god!
I love it.
Dance and Dance Meats and Dance!
Yes! Yes!
Okay, we potentially have a new episode name.
I'm on the outskirts of Menstrata Town.
Kind of wordy, but yeah. The outskirts of Barter Town.
Menstrata Town.
Menstrata. Yeah. That's what it's known
as. Barter Town adjacent.
Let's just like shorten it to Menstratown.
Menstratown.
Menstratown. I like that. That works. That works.
It's got a better ring to it.
Right? It flows better.
I feel like Menstrata needs a throne.
I see what you did there. Nice. Nice.
That was totally unintentional, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
Too easy. What's that? Oh, that's Dancing Dan's head on a spike. He pissed off Menstrata.
He ain't dancing no more.
Too many period jokes.
There's never too many period jokes.
Except for 3 to 7 days out of a month. Then they're just not funny.
Then if you make a single joke, you die.
Exactly. See how
I feel like. I feel like Menstrata needs like a throne room. Where newcomers to Menstratown come and have to pay tribute.
By giving her cotton?
I was going to say, like, the throne is made out of, like, tampons, like, you know. Instead of, like, the iron throne.
Like the iron throne is the tampon throne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, like, got skulls of sheep on the side as the armrest.
We can show all of this.
I was going to go with the skulls of people that pissed her off, but okay.
Nah.
Those it's sheep just gave up their lives. Like, okay, so like Menstrata's a warrior, right? So other men, other women are coming to like, you know, try to defeat her. So the throne is just made up of the pelvic bones of all the women she's destroyed.
See, I like that better.
Don't get me wrong, that would look a hell of a lot more hardcore, for sure.
Plus she's got to sit on it, and if she sits on it wrong...
There's a bone up my butt.
She sits down. I just boned myself.
I just imagine the throne, like, you know, like I said, like instead of the swords, they have like just like tampons sticking out, and each one is tipped in red with like the blood of all the those that she has conquered. All like just like kind of like a red halo around it. But no, I think like in Menstrata Town or what do we shorten it to?
Menstratown.
Menstratown.
Menstratown. I think that, you know, as like an all-encompassing, like, you know, utopia, you would have like, you know, you'd have, you know, your bartering area, like where people could come and trade wares or what have you. There'd probably be, you know, the main castle where Menstrata would, you know, hold court and everything else. But then you'd have to have a place where you would train all of your potential menstrualites, you know, your hench people, which would be Menstrata's cramp camp.
They're called tampoons.
At cramp camp, you send up, you know, and you're taught, you know,
tampoons. Don your pad armor.
And rage.
Who are we fighting now?
Stupid men.
You're fighting the cramps.
Oh, yeah, movement is supposed to stop cramps.
So, so there's Menstrata, there's Mencytown, there's the cramp camp where training takes place, so you can train your menstrualites for battle, obviously. And then I guess there would be the bloat boat, for your Navy, you know, that would be where you would have, like, your naval attack.
Did you say the bloat boat?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
I feel like Tim's already got this all written, so.
I got the bylaws. Yeah, I'm just going to be a part. I'll be, like, the one man in, like, this. I'm the one that's allowed in to.
You're like a scribe.
And
across the land, the name Menstrualites strikes fear in the hearts of everyone, fighting in their pad armor and using their tampons.
Her skewered enemies are not, you know.
The only men that are around are the, like, fabulously gay ones who make all the clothing.
That's because they designed the armor.
Yeah, exactly. And they do the interior design and makeup.
They just washed over us, man, like a raging river.
Left nothing behind but blood and glitter.
Blood and hurt feelings.
Blood and glitter. That could be the title of Menstrata's biography.
That's episode one. That's episode one of our new radio drama, Blood and Glitter.
I am perfectly okay with all of this.
Wow.
Okay, so we've established that Dancing Dan's meet and dance, so we've got his job. We clearly know what Menstrata does. Jim, what is it that Big Blaster does?
Entertainment, I would say. My job would probably, well, that or just
you're
I would
like
end
a
up
court
as master? I guess
someone's
yeah. I mean,
got to entertain Menstrata.
Yeah.
Keep her giggling, bro.
After a hard day of murdering fools, Menstrata likes to come home and get her laugh on.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, comedy doesn't really have a whole lot of importance in the realm of a dystopian future. Like, there's not going to be a need for someone with my particular skill set in that. And only in a Dance and Dan's Meats and Tan shop. Like, I'm going to end up as food for the rest of the group. For the most part, like I can't change a tire. I can't, you know, hang drywall. I can't, you know, help build up Menstertown.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with that though. I think that an entertainer would be needed and necessary.
Yeah. To help take their minds off starvation and
the fact
that there's no running water.
I mean, morale is a thing. No
and
matter
the
what.
Wi-Fi has been down since everything went, you know,
and
I mean,
Jim, you can help build stuff. We've got to get people to lug materials from point A to point B.
Dude, seriously, I need somebody to hunk my meat.
Someone's got to.
Actually, I'm doing a podcast right now, so. Oh, okay. Yeah, I appreciate it, but maybe some other time.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
You too. Enjoy your week, you as well.
Tell them the website.
Way to advertise, Jim.
Dude, seriously, man.
Quick!
Don't even mention the name of the podcast.
Run him down, man.
Do it live.
Not another ApocoCast. I mean, another podcast. Fuck.
He was selling me steaks.
Nice.
Speaking
Dude, what the
meat.
Fuck, man?
Oh, he can work at Dance and Dance.
Yes. Yes, he can.
See, Jim, I think someone is going to have to lug the sandworm carcasses from the open hunting grounds to Dancing Dan's for him to butcher.
Right. And then subsequently.
Okay.
And then at night, once you've washed all the slime and viscera off, you go before Menstrata's court and sling a few jokes.
And hope that these jokes won't be your last.
Hey, guys, how about that wasteland, huh?
Fuck you!
You told that one last night.
It's the same shit all week.
Look, man, I can't write shit daily, okay?
There's no fucking paper!
So meat scrubber by day, joke slinger by night is pretty much my existence in the dystopian future. Is that it?
Or
leather
you can open
slave,
the only comedy club / strip club in Menstrutown.
I like that idea, too.
Where
what would it be called?
Moist.
You could be a club owner.
There you go.
Mm. What would the name of my comedy club in Menstertown be?
Broke Jokes and Red Poles?
No, he's got to have his name on it somehow. Big Sorry. Blasters. Whatever.
Funny Poles.
Big That's great.
Funny ass. Poles.
Big Blasters, Funny Poles.
Big Blasters, Shaking Asters.
Nice.
It's got potential. It's got potential.
It's got legs, as they say.
And so we chop them off and turn them into loose meat sandwiches.
See, the great thing is Bryce would make a great hunter. We just send him out there with his gun that shoots other guns, and we get fresh sandworm every day.
True. Then he brings me back to Dancing Dan's and Tan's Butcher Shop.
So, Jim, James, what would you do?
I'd probably end up sweeping the streets.
He wouldn't make it. Let's be honest. James, there's no future for you, bro.
No.
You'll just be the narrator, so fuck you.
Right?
I get a lift so I can walk through town and say what people are doing.
Uh-huh.
And there's Dancing Dan.
Red-headed lady reaching for an apple.
Gonna take a bite.
Thinks about it. Left foot, right foot.
Batman walking over. So, yeah.
You just be the town crier. That's what you can be.
I just sit in the middle of town and go,
shit's fucked up, y'all. Ding, 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 ding. Shit's fucked up, y'all. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I could see you doing that.
The town crier in Minstertown is basically just a board op, unfortunately. So you're basically just stuck there.
No, in all honesty, you know what I think my job would be? I would be the guy who leaves town for like a month at a time and comes back with other survivors to be processed into Menstertown to, you know, for
Pull
work.
Out the ranks?
Yeah.
All right, so he's our scout.
So you're a recruiter.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, James and I could be talent scouts.
And those who don't make the cut become the fresh cuts.
You three, you bigger guys, head up the street to Dancing Dan's. Tell him I sent you.
He's got work for you there.
Jumping James meet and greet.
Nice.
You could set it up like a speed dating thing. Like, what job are you going to get?
Yeah,
do you see yourself in 5 weeks?
I'm hoping as prime rib.
Yeah, not with those hawks, bro.
No.
You always ignored leg day, didn't you?
No, but I think that would be my job. Occasionally, I'd take Bryce out to fresher hunting grounds. But yeah, just I think because my whole plan for the apocalypse would just to be keep moving.
Yeah.
Always keep moving.
Yeah.
But if there's a central town now that I'm part of, I think my job would be to find survivors, bring them back, and let you guys process them and see what – if they have anything useful that they can do, great. If not, they become meat for the beast or Big Blasters. What was it? Big Blasters, Shaking Asters?
Yeah, there it is.
So, for the Shaking Asking part would be, you know, dancers for, like, my various shows. You know, I'd be like the Neil Patrick Harris. So I would kind of come out and have like a big production number. And so you're either, you know, when James finds you in the wilderness, he brings you to Minstertown, and you get like sort of, you know, speed dated into which group that you can work in. Oh, can you build stuff? Okay, so you're gonna be over here with construction, medical personnel. You're over here. Warriors, you go to cramp camp. All that fun stuff. And if you can't do any of that,
learn how to wield a tampoon.
Yeah. If you can't do any of that stuff, you get sent over to Shaking Asters, where you learn how to shake your ass. you know, and, you know, just sort of be a part of my various production numbers to entertain Menstrata.
I just want you to know I am writing this as a story.
So, I think it's great.
I know we've talked about it in the past, but I think this would make a great audio drama. Like, we serious it up a bit, but I think there's some really cool stuff in here.
I'm really looking forward to the new Fallout 76 game, so I can make...
Menstrua Town?
Menstrua
Town. Oh my god, send screenshots.
I would like to see those as well.
I will do my best. Wow.
The first thing you have to make is the castle where Menstrata lives, and the throne room has to have red curtains all the way.
Okay, so she needs a really strong origin story, though.
Okay,
so...
Strata origin story.
So bombs have dropped. Mm-hmm. Now, does this take place years after when new societies have been established, or is this during the establishing of the new society?
Well, I think if we're going to go with Menstrua, she has to be very, very young when the bombs have dropped, you know?
Yeah, and had like a really hard, like, okay, so...
She's kind of like Conan of the post-apocalypse.
Yes! Okay. So, Red Sonja.
Wow.
Nice.
It writes itself. It writes itself.
Well done. Well done.
No.
That couldn't be more on the nose if you tried.
Not Red Sonja, Red Samantha. Okay? And here's how this works. Red Samantha, young girl in the parlance of the times, as the bombs begin to fall and radiation sweeps over, you hit puberty right when you get covered in radiation. So your period, your menstrual cycle becomes enhanced
and gives you strength beyond strength.
Dude, I was just thinking exactly. Like the Red Hulk.
No, oh the God. Red She-Hulk.
Red She-Hulk, yes.
Exactly.
Menstrata
so,
smash.
So because of which, because the fallout has blended with her, all of the cramps and everything else and the bloating and everything else gives her superhuman like powers. And of course the government snatches her up, does a bunch of experiments to see how it was that she came to be this Red Hulk.
All white men.
Yeah. And it kind of like Wolverine, where they train her to fight and everything else. And then she eventually escapes and goes on like this massive killing spree, escapes the facility and starts, Menstrua Town.
She's got to have a few years out in the open wasteland to build up her legend before she finds a place and settles down. And by that time, she's got a whole group of followers that all kind of converge and build up Menstrua Town for her.
Right.
So basically Daenerys Targaryen?
Yeah, kind of.
I was going to say female Jesus, but yeah.
A red priestess, yeah. Both.
There we go.
She is the red woman.
There's a whole lot of lore that we can draw from.
Right?
Yeah, there really is.
Wow.
Crimson Death. There's a whole lot of
flow tie.
Well, since you said that you're proficient with the bow staff, we've got to give you that bow staff with like some sort of blade, the first tampoon,
the very very first tampoon.
Okay, so after Menstrata escapes the
there's
compound.
A string on it so she can throw it.
Kratos in that shit.
She wanders the wastelands and comes across the ruins of the very last Lilith Fair. And seeks shelter amongst her sisters that give her refuge. And by this time, all of their cycles have synchronized. But of course, because Samantha, aka
the first menstruite,
is the dominant one.
She's the alpha, obviously.
Well, yeah, because she came in and she took out the original Alpha.
Yeah.
In hand-to-hand combat. There was a lot of scratching and hair pulling.
By snapping her in half with her voice.
I don't do that shit.
I didn't say by you.
So okay,
it was done by the gay men who have become the pets of the former.
The Tampoon Knights.
So Menstrata's Air Force will be known as the Red Wings, obviously.
But it's
they
just,
all got hockey jerseys on.
It's all just hang gliders, though.
Oh my gosh.
See, it's shit like this that would have gotten
this
me
is
killed.
The greatest movie that's not been made yet.
The hang gliders are made from
they have wings.
Diaphragms.
Always with wings.
Okay, so
and of course, oh, no. There's the Nuva Ring of Power.
Oh no!
It's a bladed weapon, not unlike Xena's chakra, that she just throws.
More like Krull.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's enough Krull references. That I think we need to bring that back.
And she always has her knights on a mythic quest for Marina. Nobody knows what it is.
Okay, so how does Menstrata meet? I feel like she needs to meet and bring on board each one of our characters.
Pity. She just doesn't
well, yeah, it. It's all obviously. Pity. well, actually, the only one who isn't pity would be Bryce.
True.
Yeah. The legend of Menstrata grows after she is, like I said, she takes shelter at the Lilith Fair ruins, where the elders there, obviously, like Maritha Etheridge and the Indigo Girls, those that are like the highest of the high, they see her as their new chosen leader. After she's been Esther Menstrata has been nursed back to health, she forms a group of attackers that go to various other villages under the Blood Moon, obviously.
Naturally.
Naturally, and then as she goes, she takes hostages and everything else, and we are all. Been gathered into we all meet up because she has taken us from our various other villages and kind of been thrown into some kind of a pen as we are awaiting our fate.
Okay.
Death by snoo-snoo.
And the only reason I got out was because I told her I could cook her the best steak she ever had in her life.
See,
So I became her chef.
I feel like she and Bryce would have rode together for like a year until their paths parted.
Yeah. Poor Bryce not being here to defend
himself. Well, Bryce could have been...
Bryce doesn't need to defend himself. He has a gun that shoots guns.
That shoots knives with chainsaws.
But he could have been trained. Like he could have been shooting a gun the moment the bombs dropped and his gun mutated and is now
into his arm.
So he has a gun on.
Yeah, so it is now fused to his hand.
He's a
so now
kind of
he...
Guy.
Like, we were trapped...
We call him Trigger.
Triggered. We were held and experimented on together. We escaped together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, like,
just a thought.
You spend a year riding together on horses because there's no cars.
But like three-legged horses, because radiation.
Three-legged horses.
Or five-legged.
Two heads. Yeah.
Bryce is the assassin that's been sent by the same agency that experimented on Menstrata.
Ooh.
And his job is to hunt her down and kill her. However, as he is on his mission, he sees the benefits that Menstrata has brought to the land and the evils of which that she fights and decides to change sides and join up with Menstrata. Because, maybe he's surrounded at one point and he's out of ammunition. Or whatever, and because Menstrata shows mercy, then he sees that she actually has this she's the leader that he should be following.
That and he just cannot stand serving spray tan horrendous.
Spray tan horrendous.
oh my gosh, spray tan horrendous. Like, okay, because it's obviously Trump.
Figure that out, Trump, did you?
Him and Kim Jong-un should fuse into one thing.
Oh, I got it. Orange Julius Caesar. There you go. You're welcome.
Wow.
Few things I can be proud of. That'd be one of them right there.
New name of the show?
Oh. Yeah, this needs to be a thing. Like, seriously.
So we started off trying to figure out how we would all like survive the apocalypse, and we all basically decided that Samantha, you're our leader, and we will follow you.
My rightful place.
Exactly.
I like it. Duh.
Well, I don't know about you all, but I've got a major hankering from some sandworms, so I'm gonna head over to Dance and Dan's. You guys are welcome to join me. Then we can go down to Big Blasters for a big old fat pint of gasoline.
Well, unfortunately, Blasters is closed tonight. I got a date with one of the gals over at the Cramp Camp, and we're going to take a moonlight.
Well done, sir. How did you manage that?
She told me that we were going on a date, and I basically didn't argue.
And I just said, yeah. I'll be there.
We're very confident women up in here.
Well, dude, here, if the snoo-snoo gets too bad, just don't be afraid to cry out rutabaga. They are trained to stop when they hear that.
Rutabaga is their safe word?
Yeah.
But at least that's what was told to me. I don't know.
It worked last time I was on a date, so.
Codename Summer's Eve.
That's Summer's Eve, actually, that's really funny. That's, yeah. Good products.
Always.
Well, the legend starts out like once upon a summer's eve. A crimson warrior arose from the wasteland.
Who had very sensitive
rose
skin.
From the waves of devastation.
She was very balanced in her P&H. Her pussy and heart.
Strong enough to kill a man, but made to lead women.
Oh, it's no secret. God, I feel like if you just you just walk down the feminine hygiene aisle, you could get so many crap.
Maxi. That's what she named her first.
That's
dog.
My interpreter's name is Maxi.
Maxi. Yep.
I kind of imagine there's another warring faction that's always trying to gain access to
town.
The Trojans.
Yeah, and
the Rubbermaids.
And their battle cry is dildo. Trying to penetrate inside.
Their leader's name is Magnum.
Man is kickstand.
They're warring factions, but little known fact that Magnum and Menstrata actually have had a secret love affair for many years. A love that dare not speak its name.
It's not really so much love as hate fucking.
Right.
That's the best kind of fucking, though.
The occasional hate fuck.
Not that I would know that at all.
Not at all.
But Menstrata does.
Menstrata knows very well.
Menstrata, she gets what she wants, man.
I think
we've run its natural course now.
It's natural
okay, so
cycle.
For Halloween, we all need to dress up as these characters.
I'm okay with that.
That'd be great if we were all here for a group photo for it.
Right? I know. We'll just have to Photoshop ourselves together.
So we just have to each of us take a picture of ourselves dressed up as these characters with like a green screen background. And then cut and splice all the pictures together to make one group photo.
With and then the background, the background. Dan, can be your you know, digital Menstrua Town.
Right? I'm going to try to make it. It's going to be great.
I might try and make a costume for it. I don't have a character name, though.
No, you don't.
That kind of sucks.
Well, you're jumping James.
Well, I was actually going to say, just because my job, I guess I could be called Rover.
Rover?
And because of your poofy hair.
Radiation will do wonders for you.
I think the radiation will just clean off.
Yeah, I think I could probably rock something on this. I mean, the whole butcher outfit will work for me.
I've got a couple of ideas, yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. What about
What's
you,
funny,
Jim?
Though, is we're going to have these different costumes, and no one's going to know what the fuck they are.
Yeah, but we will, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You just have to dress up for a photo that we can use to Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Gather round, children, as we tell the tale of Menstrata and her
Eve, we tell the tale.
And her band of Not Another Misfit.
Yes!
Come hear the tale of blood and glitter.
Blood and glory.
As it starts, so shall it flow. Oh.
Goodness gracious.
Indeed.
Okay, I think next week we'll have to discuss the Terminator apocalypse.
Okay.
The machine apocalypse, since we only got through the nuclear one.
All right. Yeah, we'll
Although
readdress.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
It's going to be tough, but you know, we all love a challenge and we're not challenged enough.
I think if we can get through it, we'll do machine and maybe zombie apocalypse next week.
All right.
What about gnome apocalypse?
Do what?
Gnome apocalypse?
Gnome?
Yeah, the gnomes. I have a book. I have a book defending your home against garden gnomes.
Well,
that shall be covered on the next episode of.
Way to kill the show, Sam. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.